have two places of scripture tonight, Acts chapter 7 and 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 7 and 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you turn to both of those places, there's some verses I want to read in both of those. The Bible says in Acts 7 verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm interested in verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 and verse 17. Paul speaking right here, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. In these two scriptures tonight, I want to go first to the book of Acts chapter number 7. And I want to say this first of all, we read Acts chapter 7 and we focus mostly on Stephen. We look at Stephen. And then in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you see the life of Paul the Apostle. From what I have studied and what I have gathered, I find that these are the last words that you find Stephen say on this side of life, mentioned in Acts chapter number 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, you find some of the last words by the Apostle Paul. It's very interesting to me, Brother Darren, that when I compare the last words of Stephen and the last words of Paul, they almost match. They're very much alike. Very much what Stephen says in the end of Acts chapter number 7 is very much what Paul the Apostle says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 to the young man by the name of Timothy who was there with the Ephesus church. Let me say this quickly. We meet Saul of Tarsus first in Acts chapter number 7. In Acts 7:58, when the Bible says, the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. From what I can gather, that is the first time you meet this Saul of Tarsus. And we know about him. We know about the havoc that he was causing upon the church. Let me say this quickly. From what I have studied, Saul of Tarsus would have been about 30 years of age right here. He was now in Jerusalem. He belonged to the synagogue of the Cilicians, and he was disputing with the things that Stephen was preaching. He was consenting unto his death, is what Acts chapter 8 verse 1 tells you. So I believe that he had much to do with these false witnesses that were speaking against Stephen. Let me say this. They were stoning Stephen because they were saying that he was speaking blasphemy. And I believe Saul had a lot to do with these false witnesses because they laid their outer garments, they laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. But let me say this about this day. This day in Saul's life was never forgotten in Saul's life. Even after Saul became Paul, Apostle Paul, and wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament, he refers back so much to this day. I do not believe, and you meet Stephen to begin with in Acts chapter number 6, and you read about how that he loved the Word of God. You read about how that the disciples appointed these deacons, and the first deacon that was mentioned, his name was Stephen. He was full of faith. The Bible says he had so much wisdom of God that the ones that rose up against him could not resist the wisdom which he spoke of. And that right there should show you and I that it is not our words that has power, but it is the words of Almighty God. That people could not resist the word by which he spoke, because that he spoke was the word of God. It was the disciples that said, "It's not for us," when there was a murmuring among the Grecians and the Hebrews. It was the apostles that said, "It's not God's will that we leave the word of God and serve tables." So he said, "Appoint you out these men." So Stephen was named first, a man full of wisdom, a man full of faith, and a man full of the Holy Ghost. A man that was described in the end of Acts chapter number 6, as when they looked on him, they looked on him as if he had the face of an angel. Let me say this, I believe as you come into Acts chapter number 7 and Acts chapter number 6, I do not believe that Stephen woke up this day that he was stoned and said to himself, "Today is when I'm going to go home to be with the Lord." I do not believe he approached the day like that. But he, even though he might not have known that, when he awoke to this day that would change a man's life forever, by the actions of Stephen in his final day, they were never forgotten. Let me say this, that's something to me, that stirs me, that each and every day is so powerful, and that how we are used of God today could change someone else's life forever. I'm not just talking about people that you know. I'm talking about your actions today, your actions in the present. We're so bad to live in the past. I can't go back and do anything about my past. I can give my past unto the Lord, and He can take His precious blood and wash it all away. And thank God it's gone, Matthew. It's no longer to be remembered. It'll never be brought back up again. And tonight, a lot of times, why people can't make the most of their today, it's because they're stuck in yesterday. They let yesterday defeat them. "But I messed up yesterday." Have you asked the Lord to forgive you? Have you confessed? The Bible said, "My little children, I would that you sin not. But if you do sin, have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." Take yesterday and put it where it goes. Put it behind you. Say, "It's in the past. I can't go back. I can't do anything about that, but I can do something about today. I can do something about right now." The Bible tells me in Matthew 6:34, "Take no thought for the morrow." As you read on in the New Testament, it says if you're going to talk about tomorrow, say, "If the Lord will, we will do this or do that." Don't be stuck in tomorrow. Don't always think, "Well, it's going to get better tomorrow." And a lot of times people is in so much anticipation of tomorrow that they forget about today. I want to say thank God for Stephen in his final day. I want to say thank God how Stephen approached the day. He didn't wake up saying, "I'm going to die by being stoned today." He didn't know that. You say, "Well, preacher, you got Bible for that?" Absolutely. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12, he said, "For man also knoweth not his time." The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 verse number 1, it says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So I do not believe that Stephen awoke knowing what his day was going to be like, but he made the most of his today. It says in Psalms 118, verse number 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let me say this, somebody watched him in his today. Somebody listened to what he had to say
in his today. Matthew, I never read in the scripture where Saul and Stephen knew one another. I don't know. The Bible never gives an account of a conversation between these two men. So you realize that somebody listened to you today. Somebody watched you and your actions today. You might not have even known them. You might think, I know who saw me today. No, you don't. You might say, I know who heard my conversations today. No, you don't. Somebody watched you today that you may never know. You may never know in your lifetime. They may never know what your name is, but they watched you today and they listened to you today. Did how you conducted yourself today, could it change their life forever? You say, preacher, we can't save anybody. That's exactly right. But we sure can win them. And how do we win them? We win them with our actions and we win them with our words. The Bible says, my brethren, love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Somebody watched you today. What a very important day in the life of Stephen. And thank God at how he approached his today. How's your today been? How did you wake up today? What was your mindset today? You know, you ask a Christian, is the Lord coming? Yes, preacher. The Lord is coming. But most people, let's just be honest, most people don't think he's coming today. Because if we approached every day like that, that's how we would live. Every time I go in the pulpit, Brent, I want to preach like it's my last time. I want to preach just like heaven's at the door and hell's at my feet. That's how I want to preach, because I know that souls hang in the balance. And I know that lives are listening and they're watching and they're searching. There's so many people out there. They're like the woman at the well. They're searching for happiness and love in all the wrong places. And I want to make the most of each time that I get to stand. But let me say, every day that God gives me, and today was a gift. Did you know that? When you woke up this morning, did you thank him for today? If you didn't think about this, then what might have been the problem is you're stuck maybe in yesterday. Or maybe you were saying, boy, I can't wait till such and such day. But you know what the psalmist said? I was reading, I was studying, and I found this verse that the psalmist said. And David said in Psalms 145, verse 2, he said this, every day will I bless thee. Every day. The psalmist said, I'm going to take every day, and God, I'm going to thank you, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to live like today is my last day. Is today over? Absolutely not. But most of it's gone. What did you do with most of today? We can't go back and change. Let me say this. Let me ask this question. If today is your last day, then do you sit in regret saying, I wish I'd have made more of my today? Somebody watched you today. Somebody listened to what you had to say today. This day in Saul of Tarsus' life, he never forgot it. Let me show you. In Acts chapter number 21, toward the end of Paul's ministry, he's taken into custody. He's in Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 21, and he's taken into custody. In Acts chapter number 22, they give him leave to testify. And after he's taken into custody, do you know what the first thing he talks about? Many times in the scripture you see mentioned the Damascus Road. In Acts 22, let me show you this, in verse 3, he describes who he is. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city out of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the manner, to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. But in Acts 22:20, do you know what he says? He said, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He said, I've got to tell you what changed my life. I sat and I watched a man. I stood there as they laid the clothes at my feet. I was consenting unto his death. I was encouraging them to pick up the stones and to stone him. And I saw marvelous things that day. I believe Paul remembered every part of the message. If you go back in Acts chapter number 7, Stephen preaches one of the greatest messages ever preached in Acts 7 verses 2 through 54. He started at Abraham, and then he went to Isaac, and then he preached about Jacob, then he preached on Joseph, then he told about Moses, then he told about the idolatry of Israel with the golden calf. He preached on Israel's captivity. He come on down to Solomon and his temple, but then he said God does not dwell in houses made with hands, but he talked about God dwelling in the heart of mankind. He brought it on down to Jesus Christ. He said, you've done this to the Lord Jesus. And they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth and stoned him that day. I'm telling you, in Acts chapter 22, Saul, who's now is Paul the apostle, he said, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that man. I don't know if they knew one another, but I know Stephen had a great impact on Saul's life, because the words that Stephen is saying at the end of chapter 7 of the book of Acts is almost the same words that Paul the Apostle is saying in his last letter to young Timothy before he dies up there at Rome. What about that? Why was it so powerful that day? Why was it? Because I'm not uplifting the man Stephen, I'm uplifting the God that was in the man Stephen. When Saul looked on him and he saw his face as it was the face of an angel, that's because the glorious light of Jesus Christ was shining out of him. We are as that candle. We are as that city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick that may give light to all that are in the house. The candle is worth nothing if it's not lit. The candle is of no use if it's not lit. That candle is made for one purpose. I spoke about a God of purpose last night. Candles are not made just to be put on a little a sconce or whatever and just sit there. They are meant to be lit because they have a wick in them that if lit, it burns and it gives light to all that are in the house. We're not made to step over the shed blood of Calvary and die and go to hell. We are made to serve the Lord, to give our life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can say anything to the young people, despise not the Lord in the days of your youth. I still say at the age of 35, this little light of mine, I want to let it shine for the glory of God. And that's exactly what Stephen did. Listen closely. The Bible says he was a man of wisdom, and they could not resist by which the wisdom he spoke. A verse that's really helped me here lately that I quote often is 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11, and it says this: if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Now you say, preacher, where are you going? Do you know why Stephen said what he said at his death? Because he was following in someone's footsteps much greater than he. Are you listening to me tonight? When I look at the words of Stephen and I compare them to the words of Christ from the cross, I find them very similar. Let me say this before I say that. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter worded it perfectly, how you and I should live our life. He said, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Do you know why Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? Because in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, from the place called Calvary, from the place of the skull, from Golgotha, Jesus cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You might say, "Preacher," you might ask, "does following in the steps of Christ and letting our words be as the words of Christ, because that's where the power is at, does that make a difference?" Well, the Bible says to let the word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible tells us, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." I'm telling you, where the power is at is that the power is in the word. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us we don't hold something written by private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know that these men wrote these books of the Bible, that Paul wrote the book of Timothy, but it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Before the pen even touched the paper, the Holy Ghost of God spoke, and then he wrote down the words. That's why it has power, not because it's a natural man's words, but because it is the words of Almighty God, because that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, where the power is in the Word. I would encourage these young people to take the Word of God and write it upon the tables of their heart. I would encourage you older ones to take the Word of God and write it upon the table of your heart. Who knows how it's going to be before the Lord comes? Who knows what the church is going to have to go through before the Lord comes? They might come take my Bible, but they can't take what I've written on my heart. They can't take what I've committed to memory. They can't take what I've ate and digested. It's more than just words on a paper to me. It's my food. It's my bread. It's my drink. It's my water to my thirsty soul. I'm telling you, take the Word of God and use it for the glory of God. You say, "Preacher, does that make an impact on the people around you in your today?" Well, let me ask you a question. In Luke chapter 23, did it do anything for anybody at Calvary? Do you know after Jesus said, listen, do you know after Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Do you know it was after that, and I think Luke 23:39, that there's a malefactor hanging beside of him, and he was a-cussing him, but now he ain't a-cussing anymore. There's one on the other side, he's still a-cussing, and he said this. He said, "Won't you be quiet over there?" He said, "We receive the just rewards for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." I'm like what that centurion said that day when he returned back. They said, "Why didn't you take Jesus into custody?" They said, "Never a man spake like that man." I remember what the disciples said when he stepped out on the bow of that boat and said, "Peace be still." They said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" I remember what Mary, the mother of Christ, said at the marriage of Cana when she said, "We have no wine." He said, "Woman, my hour's not come." She looked around and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Oh, there's power. That malefactor said, "Lord, remember me." Where was the power? It was in the words of God. The Lord never turned to that man and talked with him before that. But he didn't have to. It was the power of his words. When you go to Mark chapter 15, verse 39, it didn't only affect the malefactor, but it affected that centurion, because he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Amen. I want to thank Stephen tonight for walking in the oracles of God. I want to thank Stephen tonight for speaking in the oracles of God. I want to thank him tonight for having it in his mouth and in his heart. Oh, if you ain't got it in your heart, then it's not going to come out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm telling you, what we feed our mind will come out our mouth. The reason we talk the way we do, the reason we don't quote as much scripture as we quote, is because we feed our minds so much other stuff. We cloud our mind with everything else. I'm telling you, your effectiveness will be you being in this Word of God and sharing it to a lost and a dying world. I preached to you last night on Israel and how that Joseph was alive there at Dothan. Those boys, his brethren, had lied to Israel for 22 years. For 22 years, they said, Daddy, he's dead. For 22 years, they showed him the blood on that coat of many colors. For 22 years, they said a wild beast got him. They lied to Daddy for 22 years. But when Joseph sent them boys back with Benjamin and said, you go back and give Daddy this message, the Bible said they went back to Israel. They told Israel, we need to go to Egypt. They told Israel their words. It didn't move Israel at all. Israel didn't say, I'll get up and go. But then they rehearsed the words of Joseph. They remembered that the Son sent a message. They remembered that Joseph said, tell Daddy these words. And when they rehearsed the words of Joseph, the Bible said Israel looked at them boys and said, it is enough. I will now return back to Egypt. I will get in that wagon and head back. Why? Was it because of their words? Their words didn't move him to action, but it was the words of truth. It was the words of truth. I'll tell you, men, we can tell people our words all we want to. Ezekiel could have went to the Valley of Dry Bones and said what he wanted to say, and revival would have never happened. But he went down there and said, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible said revival took place. Why, preacher? Because the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be that man? God, let me be that man. Oh, did it make an impact in anybody's life when Stephen started saying the words of Christ? When he began to say things like, oh, I see the heavens open. When he began to say things like, Lord, lay not it to their charge. When he said, I see Jesus standing. Oh, did it make an impact on anybody's life? Oh, just a few chapters later, two chapters later, going down to Damascus. The Bible said that a great light shone out of heaven and it smote Saul to his knees. He's headed to Damascus. Two men was with him. And the Bible said he went to his knees and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Do you know what? The first time you and I met Saul was in Acts 7:58. But listen closely. We hear Stephen address the Lord as, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Do you know what the first thing Saul said when he was smote blind? Let me read it over there. Acts chapter 9. You'll read right here with me. The Bible says in verse number 5, the Bible says, let me read verse 4. Saul, Saul, verse 4, Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Where did he hear that? He heard it from a man by the name of Stephen. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody listened to you today. Oh, let me ask you a question. Oh, many times we say, well, nobody's listening. Nobody's watching. My actions only affect me. My words only affect me. Your words affect people that you know and people that you don't even know. Your actions affect you. They affect the people you know and they affect even the people you you don't know. I'm telling you today, somebody listened to you today. Somebody watched you today. I remember in the book of Luke, chapter number 24, the Bible says it's the third day. If there was any day, they should have been rejoicing. If there was any day, Dennis, they should have got up on the right side of the bed. It should have been the third day. It should have been the third day. The Bible says in Luke 24, Brother Matthew, that there was a man by the name of Cleopas. And then there was another man that walked with him on the way as they went to a place called Emmaus. The Bible says that a traveler met them. Oh, but it wasn't a traveler. It was the Lamb of God. The Bible said that when he approached them, you can read it, I believe it's in the last chapter, Luke 24. I believe you'll find it around verse number 17. And you'll find it in red letters. The Lord asked them about their communication. He's asking them about their conversation. He's asking them about what's coming out of their mouth. But not only does he ask them about their conversation, but he asks them about their countenance. Because he says, what is this communication that you're having? And why are you sad? Did you hear that? God spoke of both the things I've been speaking on tonight. He was looking at them, but he was also listening to them. If there was any day, the Bible said they began to rehearse in his ears. When he asked them, why are you sad? What's this communication? They said, don't you know? There was a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and we thought he was the one. And he's told us, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it. And they even said this. This is the third day. Brother Adam, they even said, women have been to the tomb and he is not there. They even talked about the disciples, Peter and John, that had already been to the tomb. But yet all of that, they were still having that kind of communication and they were having that kind of countenance. And I'm talking about it being the third day. Oh, something happened on the third day. Unlike anything that death had ever experienced. Death had never experienced anything like the third day. The grave had never had a day like the third day. Are you listening to me? Men's lives will be changed forever because of the third day. The same power that quickened his mortal body. Oh, one day at the rapture of the church, those that are lying in the graves, just the flesh is sleeping. The spirit is with the Lord. Because to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 that we will not prevent them which are asleep. That the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you know what they'll say over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 around verses 51 through 58? They'll say this, O grave, where is thy victory? Is that, O grave, where is thy sting? And those of us that are alive and remain will say, O death, where is thy victory? Oh, I'm getting it wrong, preacher. Help me. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And all of that we'll be able to say because of the third day. Amen. Cleopas, why are you sad, Cleopas? Have you thought about today? Have you thought about the day that the Lord has made? Shouldn't we be rejoicing and being glad in it? As he went on a little further, the Bible said he started all the way back at Moses and he expounded what the prophet said of him. And at Emmaus, they said, why don't you turn in with us and have supper with us? The Bible said as he went in there at Emmaus and broke the bread, he vanished out of their sight. He blessed it and he broke it. The Bible said he vanished out of their sight and their eyes were open and their hearts burned within them. Oh, they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, he's alive, boys. He's alive. Hey, boys, we've looked at it all wrong today. We've hid today. We've been afraid today. We've doubted. Am I describing your today? We've doubted today. We've not rejoiced today. We've complained today. We've worried today. Oh, and in that very instant, Brother David, the Bible says that as Cleopas and the other talked, Jesus appeared in their sight and said, "Fear not." And the Bible said he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And they rejoiced. But let me ask a question. Why couldn't they rejoice when they awoke in that today? Let me say this. A lot of people say, "Well, Jesus comes today, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice too." But what's wrong with rejoicing right now? Jesus comes, I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout too. But what's wrong with it right now? When Jesus comes, I'm going to testify of his goodness. I am too. But what's wrong with doing it right now? How did you spend your today? Oh, could you think back and say, "Preacher, how I spent my today, I truly have no regrets. And I truly believe that if anybody saw me today, that for the glory of God, they give God glory. I believe I was a help to somebody today for the glory of God." If we could go back and replay your conversations today. You know, when we are saved by the marvelous grace of God, we experience peace with God. But as we go through the Christian life and mature and walk and our faith grows and we go through that Christian walk, we begin to understand more of the peace of God. And for that, there's reason to rejoice. You say, "But preacher, you just don't know about my today." But can I ask you a question? Is God still God today? Did God look at your situation today and say, "Oh, that changes who I am. That limits me to what I can do"? No, your situation today didn't limit God. Your situation today, your problems today didn't change who God was. For God can do for you in your bad times just as much as he can do for you in your good times. Let me say this, and I'm done. Don't you want to be a man like Stephen? The last words of Paul were this. I'll just quickly tell you. If you read back, there's been people that's forsaken him. He speaks of a man named Demas. He said he's forsaken. He speaks of a man in 2 Timothy 4 called Alexander the coppersmith. And he said, "That man did me much evil." He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." He said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." That mirrored what Stephen said. "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing." But he said, "Lord, even though all these, only Luke is with me," said Timothy. He said, "Bring John Mark and come." He said, "I pray it not be laid to their charge." That's exactly what Stephen said. Stephen got it from the Lord. Do you think it changed Timothy's life? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what Timothy's last words were, but I have to believe that those words and that life had such an impact on Timothy that that's how he lived his life. What's the characteristics of this man by the name of Stephen that we need to adapt to our life, that we need to say, "God, help me to be that man"? He was a man that held the Word of God high. When you speak, let it be the Word of God. When people say, "Why do you talk the way you talk?" Do you remember what the damsel said to Peter? She said, "You gotta be one of them. Your speech bereath thee." Oh, I want people to say, "Brother Ryan, I want people to say you talk like him. You talk like him." People say, "Preacher, why do you want to memorize all that scripture?" Because I want to talk his words. Bobby, I want to say what he said. This man by the name of Stephen was a man of love. He was a man of love. As he was being stoned, he showed love. you show love today? I told somebody not long ago, I said, I've never seen a day and time that there's so many frustrated people. I've never seen a day and time in my life there's so many angry people. It's a shame that you got to be careful even waving at somebody on the highway. I remember a day it wasn't like that. I've never seen a day that some people are just going through their day with a fuse about that long, and they're just ready to be set off and just unload on somebody. And what the problem with that is a lot of those people are in church every time the doors is open. Something wrong somewhere. My sixth grade teacher, every morning, would have us read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Every morning, never failed, we were going to read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And you know how it starts out. It talks in the first verse. It talks in the second and the third about that I can have all wisdom and all knowledge, and I can understand all mysteries, and I can have all faith so that I can move mountains. I can bestow all my goods to feed the poor. But if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity has to precede everything that I do. Listen closely. The reason those words of Stephen grabbed Saul is because before Stephen said anything, he had compassion on those people. He loved those people that were destroying him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it's verse 8, charity never faileth. It never fails. He was a man of love. Let me say last, he was a man that was willing. A man of a testimony to the Lord of, Lord, whatever you want me to go through, if it'll glorify you, I'll be willing. You know what that comes from? That comes from what the Lamb said to the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a willingness. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want to leave a mark on somebody's life for the glory of God. I want to leave a mark on my boy's life that God's given me to share the good news of Jesus. I want to leave a mark that if I go by the grave and the church hasn't been raptured, that them boys say, boy, I had a godly daddy. I want to be a Stephen to somebody in this life. Have you had a Stephen? Can you think back over your life and say, preacher, a lot of the reason why I'm here tonight is because I had a Stephen. Maybe they're already gone on to be with the Lord. And you sit on that pew tonight and you hold that Bible in your lap, and I know it was God that saved you. I know who saved you. But you can remember back to the person that was a Stephen in your life that you can say, where would I be? Oh God, thank you that my paths crossed with them. Thank you that you just, because as far as we know, Matthew, that might have been the only time Saul and Stephen were ever in the same place at the same time. That's why every day is important. That's why this might be the only time you ever cross paths with that person. Shouldn't you and I make the most of today? He was willing. Are you willing? Would you be able to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, for the glory of God, I don't know how many more steps I've got, but I do know the Bible says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord, I don't know how many more steps I have. God, only you know the limit of my steps. God knows when we will take that last one. But God, until then, I'm willing. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to talk to, whatever you want me to say, God, help me not to look at my day as this is mine, but help me to look at my day as this is what God has entrusted me with to lift Him up. The Bible said that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. That's how God looks at the trials that come mine in your way. They're more precious than gold. Do you know why Daniel sticks out to so many people out of the Bible? Because you meet him in his time of adversity. Do you know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are so well remembered? Because you meet them in one of the most difficult times of their life. What about that? And even somebody that doesn't know the Bible well, you could say Daniel, and they'd say lion's den. But thank God before that Daniel said, Lord, I'm willing. Because I sure do want to leave a mark.